and just tell me.
Well, my family came from New York in 1947. They came to West Palm Beach, I think, 47. And my dad had been stationed in Greenland during World War II, so he decided he wanted to come somewhere where it was warmer, so he came to Florida. And then he drove out to Belgrade, and he saw that it was undeveloped land, and he saw there was something great out there. Mm-hmm. So he went out there, and he built a grocery store, and he built some rooming houses. And that's where I grew up until I was 16 years old. So from the time I was 3 till the time I was 16, I lived out in the Glades. When we went out there, there were only 4 Jewish families. I don't even think they knew what Jewish was when we went out there. I can remember back when I was in the 3rd grade.
Where'd you go to elementary school?
Belgrade Elementary School. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it on tape. Before I went to Belgrade Elementary School, I went to a kindergarten. It's a private kindergarten in a what they call the Belgrade housing camp. I'm not sure exactly what the right name of it was, but anyway, low-income housing. But a whole bunch of us went to kindergarten there, and I never had any trouble being Jewish when I was 5 years old, and even 6 or 7. But when I was in the 3rd grade, I don't know how it came to be, but someone said, "You're a Christ killer," and that was really devastating to me because who knew Christ? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I went home and told my parents that, and my mom explained to me that, you know, people have been told that Jews kill Christ because at the time that's who ruled the land that he was in. But anyway, when I went to school the next day, towards the end of the day, we had gone out to play, and when I came back, I remember I was in the 3rd grade now, when we came back I went to my desk and there were crosses made out of matchsticks or toothpicks. I can't remember which one, but anyway, they had written on the desk, "Christ killer." So I said, "Who did this?" And this girl said, "I did." And I said, "Okay, I'll see you after school." And I saw her, and I proceeded to beat the hell out of her. And then my mom came to pick me up, and she told me that the patrols went running out to her car saying, "Iris is in a fight." And when they told her what the fight was about, my mom said, "Okay, I'll get there when I get there." The next day, the principal of the elementary school, who was also then the principal of the junior and senior high school, called an assembly. Because her name was Margaret Mosley. She's still alive, and yeah, she's out there.
Yeah.
She held an assembly, and like I said, there were only 3 Jewish families when I first got there, and maybe there were 5 of us in the whole school from elementary school to high school. She held this assembly and she said, "We were God's chosen people," and she said, "Do not pick on the Jewish children anymore." And I think from that time till I was 16, I didn't have any problems, but there were times when my mother, I can't remember exactly, but anyway, oh, I know, we had this grocery store, and the people that came shopping were the black laborers, the workers in the fields, and my mom was very nice to all her customers, and she spoke to them by their first name, Bill or John or whatever, and white people in the town told her that she could not do that. That's not the way white people talk to black people. Well, of course, my mother, being from the north, said that's garbage. And anyway, she believes you treat everybody the same. So, to make a long story short, somebody sent her a message and told her to get out of town because she was Jewish, whatever. Okay. Then my dad, because he wanted to give us an identity, I had a little sister, he wanted to give us an identity. His family and the Jews that were in the town built a temple. And then the Episcopal Church built theirs right next to the temple. So we learned brotherhood real quick. And My parents were very active in this small temple, and my mother brought in a teacher to teach the four of us or five of us our Judaic lessons. And they put on a Passover dinner, and they did everything that there was to make you feel comfortable being Jewish in this little one-horse town, where you were definitely in the minority. I have seen crosses burn.
Really? Was your dad an architect, or is your dad an architect, or did he?
My dad is a master, jack of all trades, master of none. But he is an architect. When he built the rooming houses, he built the stairs coming up the side sides that you see all around Palm Beach County. Anyway, you see it in Dade and Broward County also.
Where was the store located?
The store was located in a place called Raderville. It was named
R-A-D-E-R-V-I-L-L-E.
Better known as the Ditch, because back in those days, there was a lot of gambling, the numbers, Belita.
Oh, yeah.
And there were things that I used to see there that were unbelievable. One time the constable came down because he had to put out a fight. Well, this constable drove his big Cadillac and he wore his six guns on his side. It was like Wyatt Earp days. It was unbelievable. But my parents would, you know, tell me all the time, you know, to stand up for what you are and don't let anybody push you around. Or I do remember, and this is vividly because this man is still teaching today at my son's high school. I remember in history class in the eighth grade, Mr. Wilson told the class that the Jews killed Christ. And being with a whole bunch of rednecks, and I was the only Jew in the class. Matter of fact, I was the only Jew in the eighth grade.
Now, is that in Belgrade?
This is in Belgrade. I haven't come to West Palm Beach yet. I was scared to come back to school the next day because a couple of the guys got real upset, and they threatened me. I thought they were going to kill me, but then my mom went to school the next day, and she straightened Mr. Wilson out. And no uncertain terms. Then, as I said, at the age of 16, which was my beginning of my sophomore year, I did my sophomore year in Belgrade and came to West Palm Beach and did my last 2 years at Palm Beach High School, which isn't anymore.
Right. Where was Palm Beach
High? Palm Beach High School. It's still there. They haven't torn it down yet, but it's between, it's on... Georgia Avenue between what two streets? Hibiscus and A B C D F G G H Gardenia and Hibiscus.
Huh. Okay.
And it sits up on the hill, but now they're planning to build a new high school because that one is just termite ridden.
That's not used.
Excuse me?
That's not used.
Yeah, it's used today, but in 2 years it won't be used.
Excuse me.
It's called Twin Lakes High School now.
Oh, okay. Got it.
The advent of integration, they changed the name.
Oh, of course. Now, what was that like?
The advent of integration?
No,
I really
going
don't.
To high school.
Oh, high school. High school wasn't bad because there was, you know, we had a Jewish population here and it wasn't the Jews against the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
But there were times that I can't remember myself, but I can remember when my sister was in high school and she was in the National Honor Society. And they had an affair at the Bath and Tennis Club, which is restricted. And she told him, you know, no. And she was an officer. And they said, why can't you come? And she said, they don't allow Jews to be members. And if they don't allow Jews to be members, I'm certainly not going to come. Even to this day, my son is 14 years old. He went to a private elementary school, Palm Beach Day School. And they had a dance, they didn't, but in the city of Palm Beach, they had a cotillion, a dance cotillion, and children were invited. Now, my son Chad was invited because his last name was Murray, which my last name is Murray, and they didn't think that was Jewish. And the dances were held at the Bath and Tennis Club, so now I'm only talking a couple of years ago because he's in the ninth grade, and this is when he was in about the fourth grade. And I remember I explained to Chad that the Bath and Tennis Club is still restricted, and that if you wish to dance there, fine. They don't know when you walk through the door that you're Jewish because they can't see that, but if you were black, they would know that, and they'd ask you to leave. He, in turn, took his invitation and wrote on it, "You don't allow my people to join your club. You certainly won't let me dance on your dance floor. I decline this invitation." Hmm. Which was devastating because the people who sent it then called and said, "Oh, we didn't know you were Jewish." Well, anyway.
One of the things Mr. Cook, talks about is, being able to go into those clubs in Palm Beach that you and I
That's
can
right.
go into.
That's right.
One person who has a pretty high office in Palm Beach, she's not allowed. She can't go to a lot of the places either.
Is she Jewish?
Yeah.
Who is that? At the Bath and Tennis Club, this lawyer, and this is a true story, this lawyer took his friend there for lunch, and the lawyer was Jewish. Oh, no, the lawyer wasn't Jewish, but the friend was Jewish. And the maitre d' went up to the member and said to him, "Your friend cannot stay." The lawyer said, "Why?" He said, "You know, we don't allow Jews in here." This happened about, let's see, this is 1988, and this happened in 1978. 10 years ago. They have since changed their mind because it was brought out in the newspaper that this is a restricted club, and now they say, supposedly, if you as a member feel that the person you're bringing in is good enough to associate with, then we feel that they're good enough to be members also. I don't know how far that will go, but anyway.
What was integration like? Because you were here for that.
Going back to integration, I had already, I was already out of high school. My sister, who is 6 years younger than I am, her class was the class that started integration. And what was it like? A few blacks were up at, and we're talking about up at Central, which is the junior high school that feeds into Palm Beach High School at the time. They didn't have any problems, no problems. But I will tell you this from experience. When I started teaching school in 1966, I taught in an all-white school. Everybody, if you were white, you taught at a white school. If you were black,
Did you teach in Palm Beach County?
In Palm Beach County.
What school did you teach
at? I taught at Westgate Elementary School. Well, I taught at many because I was a physical education teacher.
Oh, that's right.
So I traveled. I taught at Palm Beach Public, and I taught at Westgate Elementary School. And then the next year, they gave us 7 schools, and the next year, I became a classroom teacher. So I gave up the physical education. And then continued to teach at Westgate Elementary School in the 5th grade. Then, when they decided they were going to integrate all the elementary schools, they said to the teachers, white and black, if you wish to be transferred, go apply to the school. Go and be interviewed at the school of your choice. And I went. I remember I went to Roosevelt Junior High School. Principal looked at me and he said, "You don't have your master's and I don't want you." I said, "But I'm not a bigot, Mr. Munnings. The next one that comes through here is going to be white with their masters and a bigot. But goodbye." That's okay. I went to Westward Elementary School. And at that time it was Mr. Thomas McRae who was the principal. He said he didn't need a teacher when I went in to apply. And the next day he came to my school. He came to Westgate, into my classroom with a contract, and he said, "Sign on the dotted line, please. I can use you next year." When I went to Westward, which was roughly 17 years ago.
Hiya, I'm Warren.
Warren, story's about
I went to Westward, and I remember the first day we were there, the white parents whose children were bused to Westward for the first time in this black community, and a nice black community, too, they
more
were
residential then, wasn't it? More of a stable residence surrounding
it. It's still the same.
It is?
It's still the same. We just, the children who come to our elementary school now come from all over.
Okay.
The feeder, where they bus them from is everywhere and anywhere. But 17 years ago, the children around the school went to the school, and the children on the other side of the canal in front of the school went to Westward. But there was a group of white children that were bused in from a low socioeconomic white area. And those parents, because they were afraid, and I can understand that, were picketed in front of the school and did not allow their children to come. I thought that was too much. But when I got there, I remember that the sixth graders would say, "Hey, you honky, go home. We don't want any whitey here." And I had to laugh to myself because growing up in Belgrade, not only was I Jewish and in the minority, but in the height of the season, I was white in the minority. So,
when did the cross burning take place? In that height of the picking season or not? I'm just curious.
Yes. Yes, in the field. I went to see what it was like. I was
old. Cross burning happened when evangelists and missionaries came through the town and had meetings. They would hype up the people, then you had a cross burning. Hmm. Well, the Ku Klux Klan came out there.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Oh, came out there. Anyway, I got tickled when these kids would say, "Honky, go home" or "go back," because growing up with black people all my life, I didn't know any better. I just told these kids, "Hey, you're no different from the next child."
Do you know that there's a kind of a pepper called honky?
No. Anyway, these kids, they scared off several white teachers. They didn't scare off this white teacher. And then we've grown since then to be real good friends, and some of them I have taught and am teaching their children now.
Yeah.
But there were blacks that didn't want the whites to integrate their school. I can remember that a man came through the school. This was the funniest. A man came through the school and exposed himself. He thought only to the white teachers because he thought they would be afraid and we would leave. Not true. We asked for more. And then there was a man who stood on the corner of the school by the canal, and he stood there and exposed himself. And I remember I said to him, "Hey, wait a minute, buddy, I have to go to school. I have to be there at 7:30, but I'll be back at 3:30. Wait right there." The principal said, "Can you identify him?" I said, "Only if he pulls down his pants." Anyway, integration in the elementary school, when I was there, we had no problems. And when my sister had integration, when it first started, they had no problems. Maybe now it's worse.
Really?
Oh, not in the high schools.
Hmm.
In the high schools, not in the elementary schools. And my dad is right about the evangelists. When they came through Belgrade and they riled up the people, and the Klan came through, then the whites got all excited and they burned their crosses.
So how often did the Klan come through?
Oh, I don't really remember. Maybe once or maybe twice a year.
I never really understood what cross burning was about. I just didn't understand.
Scare you? You see that big cross and set on fire? You?
Yeah.
It's enough to scare you.
It's primarily a scare tactic. There's no
right.
real ritual or symbolic
right.
significance of it. Hmm.
But growing up here is something else.
Really?
Definitely something else.
Just because of all of those kinds of experiences.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, you don't seem too embittered by it because you're still here.
No, I'm not embittered by it at
all.
You're
amused by it.
Yeah, it tickled me. I remember when a child, when a classmate said to me, when Jews die, aren't you buried standing up? I thought that was weird myself. Or most Jews have horns. Well, I didn't understand that when I was in the fifth grade or sixth grade, but I understand that now because when the statue of David was made, it was made with horns. David was a Jew. So, I mean, you know, all Jews have horns. Well, I understand that as an adult. Adult or older, but I didn't understand that as a kid.
What other kinds of things they believe about?
Let me
Jews?
See. Well, all Jews have dark, curly hair. Well, this Jew sitting right here has blonde, curly hair. All Jews don't have blue eyes. My dad has blue eyes and red hair. People said the weirdest things.
Like what?
Like, most Jews talk with a New York accent. No, I guess the ones from Alabama don't, though.
Is that where your folks are from?
No, my folks are from New York.
Yeah, right.
Huh. I can't.
Shalom, y'all. Yeah,
yeah, right. I think it makes you a better person.
Being toughened up like that.
I think it prepares you for life, mm-hmm. for the life out there. Mm-hmm. That if everything was rosy all the time and then you came into something ugly, you may not be able to take it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I look at you.